Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Little Oracles podcast, an oracle for the everyday creative. I'm Allison Arth. Hey there, welcome to the minisode. So today we're talking about The Tiger's Wife by Taya Obret and The Book of Form and Emptiness by Ruth Ozeki. So without further aardvarks and avalanches, let's get into the little reviews. So let's start with The Tiger's Wife by Taya Obret. This is her debut novel from way back in 2011. Do you remember 2011? It was a while ago. What are years anymore? But I digress, or maybe I don't actually, because The Tiger's Wife is itself very much concerned with time and the way we live within and without it. And what I mean by that is, you know, we mark its passage, we implement rituals, and so often in doing so, we wonder, where did all the time go? But I don't want to unravel the sweater of time here. That's a much bigger discussion. I want to talk about The Tiger's Wife. So this is a book about a woman who is searching for solace and answers following her grandfather's kind of circumstantially strange and somewhat unexpected death. And it takes place in an indeterminate Balkan state during war times, both present and past. And it weaves in these folkloric elements that are passed down in family stories from the grandfather to our point of view character, Natalia. It's really this rich kind of near epic, near dynastic, near magical realist book, but it's none of those things really. It lives in the margins and it touches them so lightly that it gives this overall impression of quietude, even amidst all the immediate violence and the residual suffering that are the setting's main stock in trade, as it is set during times of war and times of strife. And, you know, it kind of reminded me of Everything is Illuminated by Jonathan Safran Foer in its use of generational memory and almost mystic story beats. And to be fair, I read that book like 20 years ago, so this could just be the Vaseline of remembrance, but The Tiger's Wife really did give me Everything is Illuminated vibes in the way that it handles, or I don't know, more like holds or cradles grief and loss kind of as a thing, you know, something with mass but not necessarily weight, something you carry but never put down, something that changes with you and with time. And while I wouldn't call this book slow necessarily, it is one you might want to read slowly because of those elements and because of those concepts and because the narrative shifts its timeline and sometimes its point of view throughout. Sometimes we're in Natalia's head, sometimes we're in her head, but looking through the eyes of her grandfather via a story that he's telling her in the narrative. You know, overall, it's kind of a collection of stories within a story in that nesting doll kind of way. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of just shaped like a life. Stories are echoed in stories. Older generations are echoed in new generations. Loss and history and grief is just kind of echoing all around and sometimes enveloping people. So if you're into folktale-infused fiction, if you're into horrors of modern warfare stories, because there is definitely that in this as well, if you're into legacy or family novels with that little bit of magic and mysticism, The Tiger's Wife, it might suit you really well. And speaking of mystical things, let's talk about our next book, The Book of Form and Emptiness by Ruth Ozeki. So I gotta say, I'm really torn about this book, and I'll tell you why. There were times I loved the line work, some really beautiful sentiments and sentences scattered around it, and thought-provoking philosophy too, honestly. Things like, here's a quote, "Poetry is a problem of form and emptiness." I love that. And also this quote, "When a sound enters your body through your ears and merges with your mind, what happens to it? Is it still a sound then, or does it become something else? When you read these words on a page, what happens to them when they become you?" So definitely some cool ideas, but there were so many times where I felt kind of yanked out of the book by its referentialism and topical self-awareness, which in novels is just really, most of the time, really anathema to me. And this one had a lot of it. But okay, let me back up just a little bit and tell you about the book before I get into my analysis. So it's a multi-point of view story. It's primarily told from the perspectives of a teenager named Benny and the book that begins speaking to him after his father dies. And it's worth noting, too, that other objects speak to him as well. It's really a cacophony, and it truly unravels him over the course of the novel. So we also get into the mind of Benny's mom and sometimes Benny's friends, primarily this sage-like fellow teenager whom Benny meets when he is institutionalized in the story, and also this kind of lightly gossamered Marie Kondo character who's also a Buddhist monk. And I also should say that I listened to the audiobook. I didn't read the physical book, and maybe that was part of why I had such a hard time getting into this novel, because the narrator of the audiobook used a lot, and I mean a lot, of voices to personify the various characters, and most of them were really unflattering and unforgiving, and transformed these characters into more like caricatures, which I think it negatively disposed me to them and to the novel as a whole, because when it comes down to it, it's a really rich and wide-ranging novel, and it's got all these incredibly important questions woven into it. You know, questions about unchecked consumerism and overvaluing things, objects, and about the United States of America's crumbling education and healthcare and mental healthcare systems, and about carceral logics, you know, masquerading as care. So really heavy and really vital stuff. But when part of the narrative feels like it's lampooning its own characters, and I do think that's on the audiobook narrator, but still, when we've got that on the one hand, and part of the narrative feels like it's a full-on satire of Marie Kondo's whole decluttering organizing vibe. I mean, there are parts in this book that are from a very lightly veiled facsimile or a very lightly veiled version of The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, which is Marie Kondo's book. And there's a reference to a Netflix show, which Marie Kondo did a few years ago. When all of those things come together, I'm just kind of left in this state of meh, you know, leaning toward maybe not, honestly. And that's really hard for me because I want to like this book. It is universally acclaimed. It's a really original depiction of facets of grief and transition after a traumatic event. And it's catalyzed in a huge way by Zen concepts like interdependency and mindfulness. And those motivations are really clear and well rendered. And you know, it's this big and weighty and meaning-filled book. I can tell that. I really can. But it didn't catch me in its jaws or anything really quite that dramatic. It just kind of happened to me. And now that I'm saying that, now that I'm reflecting on that as a statement, that this book didn't dazzle me or act like some kind of kaleidoscopic transformational experience, that it just happened to me, that it was just an experience that was in my life. It was a book. It was, and it is. And maybe that's the whole point. That was a journey, huh? I still think I'm on the fence about The Book of Form and Emptiness, but I guess that kind of will she, won't she transitional feeling might be just the ticket for this book. Maybe that's how everybody feels after they read it. They just keep thinking about it. So if you like philosophical reading, if you like books that are big on really big ideas, the ones that come to mind for me are The Small Backs of Children by Lydia Yuknovich, or Pure Color by Sheila Hetty, or pretty much the entire oeuvre of Kazuo Ishiguro, you might be into The Book of Form and Emptiness. And if you read it, please hit me up and let me know what you thought. Let me know about your experience. Did this book happen to you? Were you floored? Did you hate it? Tell me. I want to know. And that's all she wrote for this minisode. If you like what you're hearing here on the Little Oracles podcast, I invite you to subscribe wherever you listen and leave a review if you want. It helps the podcast grow. Follow at Little Oracles on Instagram and check out the blog at littleoracles.com for more big book energy and creative content. And definitely DM me on Instagram if you'd like to join our Discord. And as always, take care, keep creating, and stay divine.